In the second reading today, St. Peter tells us something that is quite profound about our own selves. He said, "Be like living stones, being built up into a spiritual house, into a holy priesthood to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." Now, if we really think about what it is that he's telling us, first of all, he's saying, you are holy. Think about that. You are holy. And you are called to great holiness. You are called to be the temple of the Lord. If Jesus himself, as St. Paul said, is a living stone, and you yourselves are living stones, that's only because you're a member of Jesus Christ. But think about what that means in a particular way. In the Old Testament, there's only one person who's ever called a rock. That's God. In the New Testament, there are two people who are called a rock. One is Jesus. He is called the rock, but he is also called the capstone. He is called the cornerstone. He is called the living stone. He's even, as we heard, a scandalous stone, a stone that makes people trip and fall. And then we have St. Peter, whose name is actually changed from Simon to be the rock. That's what Peter means. But then there's you. You are a living stone. So if the only people who are called a rock, a stone, is God, and then St. Peter, who is to lead the church, and then it's the rock himself who is saying that you are also a living stone. St. Peter obviously must have been reflecting quite a bit on his own name, the name that Jesus gave him, and said, wait a minute, what does this mean for me? And now, as he reflected on that, he came to understand that yes, while he alone is the head of the church, that every member of the church is also a living stone. Now, if that's the case, it's not just like if you look around, it's not like you're just one of the bricks in the whole church. Because St. Peter tells us that we are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, the people of his own. And he tells us that we are to be offering spiritual sacrifices that are pleasing to God. That means if Jesus is the stone, it's because he's the temple. And if you're a stone, you're a temple as well. Not just a stone in the temple. On one hand, we are that when we look at the whole mystical body. Yes, we are one part of the whole mystical body. But each part is a temple unto him or herself. Because of your baptism, you share in the priesthood of Jesus. You are a priest, you are a prophet, you are a king because of your baptism. And so you have the ability to offer those spiritual sacrifices that are pleasing to God. Now, if we look at what that means, just again, looking at the building in which we are all seated right now, what goes on in the church? We offer sacrifice to God. We worship God. And the Lord dwells here. He is right in front of us, obviously, in the Blessed Sacrament. That's to be a reflection of your soul. You are to worship God. You are to offer sacrifice to God. And God dwells in you. If you are in the state of grace, the Holy Trinity dwells within. And the Lord again made that absolutely clear in the gospel reading today. He talked about that to his apostles. One of my favorite lines in the whole of all scripture is St. Philip saying, well, show us the Father and that'll be good enough. Like, no kidding. You see God face to face, that'll be enough for all eternity. But Jesus goes a little further than that. He says, do you not believe that I'm in the Father and the Father is in me? And then he tells us beyond that, that he dwells in us. Jesus is in the Father is in Jesus, and Jesus is in us, which means the Father is in us. The Holy Spirit is in us. The Lord Jesus is in us because he's in the Father. And so you are the dwelling place of God. Do you know that he's there? Do you recognize him there? Do you seek him there? St. Teresa of Avila, the greatest prayer in the church, the one who has taught us about prayer, in her most famous book, it's called The Interior Castles. And in that book, if you think about the way that she describes the soul, think about an orb, a ball of sorts, with seven layers moving to the inside. And on each layer, there are lots and lots of different compartments or rooms. Okay? So you can move around depending on what level of the spiritual life you're at. You can go all around that same level. Lots and lots of rooms. Exactly what Jesus said. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. There are many rooms. And as you go deeper and deeper and deeper, she said, at that seventh level, that's where God dwells, at the deepest part of your soul. That's where you're going to find God, dwelling within you. Now, why, you could ask, would God be calling you to holiness? Well, number one, because he wants what's the best for you. He wants you to be holy. In fact, we're even commanded, be holy, because I, the Lord your God, am holy. So it's not even an option for us, but it's that question of why. Well, think even in the early church of what we just heard in the first reading. The apostles wanted seven people to be able to distribute food. Okay? So what are the requirements? Number one, they must be filled with the Holy Spirit. To distribute food? Anyone can distribute food. I mean, this doesn't really require a rocket scientist. It required someone who was holy. That was the number one requirement, just to distribute food. Now, if that's the case, what do we think St. Peter would be saying if he were in front of us? You are called to be married and you are called to raise children. Do you think you need to be holy? Do you think you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit? If you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit to distribute bread, well, you do a whole lot more than that every day. Every single one of us is called to be a saint. For those of you who are married, you are called to help the other person also become a saint and to raise up new saints for God. Now it gets even better, because for those of you who are married, each one of you is a temple in the Lord. And together, you are a temple in the Lord. And that means that individually, we have to be offering sacrifice to God, worshiping God, being the dwelling place of God. But in your marriage, it is also to be worshiping God, offering sacrifice to God, being united in the Lord, having him at the center of your marriage. And so each one of your children, of course, is a temple unto him or herself as well. But ponder that with regard to your marriage. On the day that you got married, God put the two of you together. Your souls were united. And God is in that union. So that union is holy. That union is about being saints. That union is a sharing in also the priesthood of Christ, being a priest, a prophet, and a king within that context of the marriage. And so you begin to see that everything that God is calling us to is something that is holy. That's what he wants for each and every one of us, is that great, profound holiness. So if in heaven there are all of these dwelling places, and in your soul, as St. Teresa lays out for us, there are all of these dwelling places, doesn't it begin to sound like your soul is to be a reflection of heaven? After all, where would we say that God dwells? In heaven. Our Father who art in heaven. What does it say where God dwells? In you. It's to be a reflection of heaven. What are we going to do in heaven? We're going to worship God. We're going to love. We're going to sacrifice. That's what he's asking us to do now. And if we look at it and say, well, I still don't know quite how that works. Well, Jesus told us. He said, I'm the way. That's the only way. There is no other way. So our world, we want to have all these different things. Jesus says, no, there's only one. In fact, it's so much that Jesus said, one thing only is necessary. That's Jesus. So we have the Adoration Chapel, obviously. And there is no better place in the world to be able to come and be united with the Lord, to be able to soak in everything that he wants. And as you are united with him in the Holy Eucharist, he begins to reveal himself more and more in the depths of your soul. It's not that he reveals himself more, but what happens is that all those layers that are above start getting peeled off as we grow in holiness, and we go deeper and deeper so that we're more and more united with him. But for those who aren't able to get to adoration, one of the wonders that we've got right now is that there are lots of perpetual adoration chapels now that are on the internet, live. It's not a picture of Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament, it's live. My favorite one, I have to say, is over in Poland. If you look up EWN Polska, so EWTN has a branch in Poland, so EWTN Polska, and just start typing in the word adoration. Okay, because in Polish it starts the same, A-D-O-R-A, and it should come up. And it's an absolutely beautiful adoration chapel. It's like Our Lady of Grace, an outline of Our Lady of Grace, and the Blessed Sacrament right where her Immaculate Heart is. And it's absolutely gorgeous. But if you don't like that one, there are quite a few others that have live adoration 24 hours a day. So if you're up in the middle of the night, you need to pray, all you need to do is look up adoration on the computer. If you can get to the Adoration Chapel, obviously that's way better. But if you can't, you can take and make your home into a place of the worship of God. There's somebody that I was talking to who said, well, what he does is when he goes to work, he just puts one of those Blessed Sacrament chapels on his computer. And all through the day, he's able to look up at the Blessed Sacrament. So while he's doing his work, he can just remind himself that he's in the presence of the Lord. All of us can do things like that. What a great reminder for us. But again, if we think about what happens in the church, when we think about what happens in the Adoration Chapel, that is what's supposed to happen in our souls. So that's what we want to really focus on, looking at our own soul, recognizing the holiness to which God is calling us. And it's every one of us. It's holiness isn't for a few. Holiness is for everyone. And so if we can understand what God is calling us to and the dignity that's ours to be a living stone in the temple of the Lord, to be a temple, to be a holy place, to be a place of worship and adoration, that's what God has for all of us. That's what he wants for you. He loves you so much, he comes to be with you. And he wants you to be with him. He's not going to force himself on you. It's a choice you have to make, to take that time every day to get inside and to seek that union with Jesus. That is the fulfillment of your dignity. That is what God is calling each one of us to be that living stone, to be the chosen race, the royal priesthood, the holy nation, the people that God has chosen as his own. For what purpose? To be holy. To be united with God in this world so we can be united with him in the next.